talking about nihilism in this episode. Because most of us don't understand it. So we're going to go into this as much as possible here. So one of the things you really come to understand when it comes to the world and the universe is that the universe is inherently nihilistic. And most people don't understand what nihilism is in the first place. Because they have attachments to a certain thing that now they see as meaningless and whatnot, which we can get into when it comes to addictions and things like this. But when it comes to nihilism, what I've come to understand is that the world is meaningless. The universe is meaningless. And for the mind, for a lot of people, it feels overwhelming for various reasons. And we'll get into some of those reasons in this episode, because in some ways there is some legitimate reasoning for your fear and depression of nihilism, at least from where you're standing, in this kind of thing. And we can go into all of that and whatnot, because I've kind of come to this point and level in nihilism. I understand what's happening. I understand what's going on. So, to give you one example of this that's pretty prevalent, pretty basic. So, when it comes to making decisions, there are infinite amount of decisions that you can make. Infinite amount of choices, and there really is no if you have no meanings at all or no necessarily emotion tied to one decision over another, all decisions can look equally valid, and you can call this postmodernism, I suppose, but like, this has, in some ways, an anti-postmodernistic mindset as well, because it's where the nihilism comes into play. Because this is the case, because this can be the case, especially in the universal sense, you can actually sense this. And some of you can actually feel this when it comes to the emptiness as well, which we'll get into in other parts of this. So, with these decisions that you're making, there's not necessarily, if you have no need for it to be one way or another when it comes to this decision that you're engaged in, you will not really know which way to turn, right? You know, that we can look at consequences and stuff like this in regards to that. But who's to say what your consequence will be versus mine, you know, this kind of thing as well. And so when you can start to see things in this way, it feels very scary, because before you had maybe a few decisions that you had to make. Get up in the morning, eat, brush your teeth, you know, whatever it is. and do whatever your normal habit-forming mind has created, your habit-based mind has created, based on its addictions, based on its attachments. And so maybe you have 10 things that you do, 20 things, 30 things, right? But once those attachments are gone, once the one decision over another kind of mindset is gone, now there are infinite decisions. You don't know which one when to choose. And what I mean by this is, so the reason why you choose one decision over another is because you're attached to that decision. You believe this is the good decision or whatever it might be. You're addicted to what this decision gives you, things like this, right? And so if those things are gone, if those attachments are gone, if those things give it validity within your own mind are gone, millions of other decisions can open up. You now are open to millions of different decisions and choices that you know that you didn't have before. And that's highly confusing for you, where you are. And so you, because you need some things and you're attached to things and you need to have some kind of meaning-based decision-making process, nihilism, which is basically what this is, or at least one part of it, which we'll get into the other parts in a minute, is depressing to you. So the other element of this is the ultimate emptiness of all things. So in Buddhism, it talks about this. And it may talk about it in the sense of material things, but I think of it in a different kind of way. Because when you look at objects, when you look at any kind of thing, what normally happens is that there are thoughts, attachments, opinions, and worldviews and whatnot within you that you now overlay upon whatever this thing is, that give it value or give it what you'd call disvalue, or the things that you don't value, or even worse, the things that you adamantly are against, right? But in this true levels of nihilism, all of that is gone. And once you concede to this extreme level of nihilism, of nihilism, you start to see that all of that is ultimately empty. Once all those values just disappear like that, they're gone, all of the attachments to one worldview over another, all of the needs for things to be one way or another, all the needs for a person to be one way or another, they're just gone. They don't exist. The ideas might be still there, but the attachments are no longer there. The needs are no longer there. Or whatever it is, it might be halfway for you. You might be in the place where you see that the needs are actually meaningless because of things that we can go into. But that doesn't mean that you don't have needs at all, right? Or attachments. And so what I've noticed is that most people are probably halfway, if they're in nihilism at all. No, not most people as in most people, period. But like most people in nihilistic mindsets, if not all of them, honestly, are in a space of nihilism that is like only half nihilism. Because they have a sort of what I'd call a partial awakening of the ultimate meaninglessness of life that we just kind of discussed, with the infinite decisions and the ultimate emptiness of all things, once value and attachment and need and addiction, all, I think, and all these things are removed from the worldviews and whatnot, it can see the ultimate truth of all that, that none of this is actually true in real life, in the universe. And but because it's only partial, and because it doesn't include the non-attachment attitudes, and because it doesn't include the embodiment, I suppose you can call it, of nihilism, it creates a sort of depression, and a depression, and a depressive mindset, because it's like you're 1 foot in, out the door of reality, and 1 foot in. You're 1 foot into the room of nihilism and 1 foot out. But you think you're fully in, but you're actually not. Of course, this is where the deep level of this comes in, because what I'm telling you here is that you have to go all the way in. What I'm telling you is that at this level, you don't care if you go in or not. You don't care if anybody else goes fully in or not. It doesn't matter to you. It doesn't matter if anybody needs to become aware or not, or whatever it is you typically would have valued. Because the attachments are gone, the values are gone. And we can go into why attachments can cause problems and things like this. And so, in one sense, that kind of situation, the ultimate emptiness and the infinite decision situation that we're talking about, on one level, that can cause confusion and depression, respectively. The infinite decision area causes confusion, ultimate confusion, because you don't really know one way or another. The other one causes ultimate depression, because there is no meaning or value one way or another. But you're, like I said, because it's only a partial awakening, you're only partially in to that nihilism aspect. But you don't realize that. That's the ultimate, like, deep level of this, is that it can get so deep within you to where you don't care whether somebody does what you would normally consider to be evil in front of you. Somebody could do one thing to you one day when you're in a halfway space of nihilism, or not in nihilism at all, and that can trigger you and make you mad. But the next day, if you enter that space of complete full nihilism, you don't care at all. You might warn them, like, you might not want to do that because it causes you consequences. But if you do, I don't care. Go ahead, do it. Just do it. Because no amount of me, well, and there's a couple reasons why, right? Well, there's no reason why at this level, but we can give you a couple reasons why, because that's based on how the mind works. But with nihilism, ultimate pure, what I'd call true, well, I wouldn't call it true nihilism, but I'd call it pure nihilism, I guess, because I don't really know what other phrase you would use for it, but... or ultimate nihilism is beyond values, beyond your attachments and needs and wants and loves and hates and all these things that you have, your opinions as well, beyond all those things. It is the ultimate understanding that none of these things are inherent to the universe. See, one of the things that religion does, and spirituality does this as well, is it tries to, not only does it have worldviews and opinions, but it tries to make those something that are inherent to the universe. God is a thing that exists. God is this way, not that way, and this kind of thing. But in this ultimate nihilism, God can be many ways, or God may not be existing at all. Or something even more spectacular, right? What if there are multiple gods, or what if the truth of it is that awareness is God, right? But you're not aware of that if you are stuck to, well, no, but God is this, God is what the Bible says God is, you know, whatever it is. This kind of thing, right? Or if you're an atheist, you're like, no, but God doesn't exist. That makes you closed. It makes you stuck. And in some ways, that's good for you because if you're stuck, if you're closed in this way, you can end up being in a situation and in a mindset where you could be, sorry, if you're closed minded or whatever, that kind of makes you stabler, gives you this illusion of stability, which helps you to avoid certain problems of nihilism that we're going into, what a lot of people are going into lately, because they're like only partially there, right? But with that kind of stuckness comes its own set of consequences that you're probably not even aware of. Those kind of thing. But you know, a lot of people will tell you, like, oh, you must learn how to change, you must learn how to grow, you must learn how to not be comfortable, and this kind of thing. You know, when in this complete stage of nihilism, none of that is apparent. And you don't even care at this level. Because not only is nihilism about the universe, it's also a local thing as well, where the self is embodying nihilism. Because the problem is that you have an awakening of nihilism, or at least a partial awakening of nihilism. But the thing is that you haven't taken the understandings of nihilism and the ideas of it and you haven't practiced, you know, detaching enough to really see what nihilism actually is, to realize that you yourself is not actually fully nihilistic. Because if it were, it would not get depressed about the nihilism that it's engaged in. That's a fucking mind fuck right there. But and so because you're listening to me right now, you're like, you know, but David, you must have some kind of opinion or worldview or whatever. Like, you have to have something to move through the world, to make sense of it or whatever. So, and my response is, why? I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm not saying you're right either, right? That's ultimate Pyrrhonism and nihilism wrapped into kind of one, basically. Going so beyond all those kinds of values and judgments that, like, you literally just find yourself on unhampered by any of those things. Because the truth about the matter is that these values, they actually hamper you and they keep you stuck, which is good in some ways, because it helps you to be stable if that's what you want in life. But if you no longer care, if you dare to reach that level of attachment or detachment, that is, or non-attachment or whatever you want to call it, you can do that. And once you do that, it's the most freeing thing you'll ever do for yourself. And so the essence of nihilism could be captured with the phrase, nothing matters. Because ultimately with nihilism, there is no need for one thing to be, one way to be desirable over another. Because all paths are equally valid in some ways. And all paths are equally valid, sorry. And whatnot. You know, that doesn't mean that there are no consequences. But people do things despite the consequences anyways, so there is that element of it as well. That we can kind of consider and realize, like, just because there are consequences doesn't mean that people won't value those ways. Sometimes consequences are actually good depending on what you're actually trying to achieve. Of course, promise you don't necessarily know what you're trying to achieve either, but it's another episode. So because nihilism is so free of all these things, once you enter in, and you're not prepared, and you're not tenderized through different practices that we've done, that we talked about, like meditation and detachment and things like this, you won't be prepared for the ultimate confusion of nihilism. So people see that. People see the nihilism and the nihilistic response that you have to nihilism. And then they say, well, that must mean nihilism is bad. And you shouldn't enter nihilism and you should try to escape it. These kinds of things. But the truth of the matter is that it really doesn't matter. We take these ideas, these viewpoints, way too seriously. Nihilism's good, nihilism's bad. You're good, you're bad. He's smart, he's not, you know, whatever it is. It's like, why? Why are you focusing on these things? Right, it really doesn't matter in the end. If you focus in on them or not, and so you can literally enter a place where everything is equally acceptable. But if you're not prepared before you enter this place, it may feel unacceptable to be in this place. Because you want some things over other things. You choose worldviews, one worldview over another worldview. And not only do you choose that one worldview over the other worldview, you demonize the other worldviews, or you criticize the other worldviews, or you nitpick the other worldviews. And that helps justify the choice that you made. That's how the mind can justify its decisions. In this way. That's the deep power of all this. You can become aware of all of this. And once you get to notice it for the first time, you just look at it in awe. Like, wow. It's just the power of your mind to make a decision. But you in your current state, when you hear me say that, you'll be like, no, I don't want to know that my mind chooses one worldview over another, and that all of them are equally meaningless in this way, I think. Because I'm attached to this worldview. It's like, that's exactly right, and that's exactly why when you discover nihilism, you resist it, and you try to struggle against it, and that creates depressions and anxieties because you're attached to having it the opposite way. And it's precisely because you're attached to having it the opposite way is why you're unstable in the first place. And people don't realize how unstable the mind really is. It really wouldn't take very much for some people to become very, very unstable because their worldviews are threatened, or because the thing that they are attached to disappears or whatever. And that kind of thing is exactly what you're afraid of dealing with in nihilism, because you are attached to one worldview over another. That's why. So, anyways,
3, 3, 15 seconds.
I could go on here, but I think I'm going to end this, and I'm going to publish it. So, hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'll talk to you in the next one.